Well, it's been a wonderful time already, hasn't it? And the Lord has spoken so much, and I only hope that I can somehow add to that. And in a way, I almost don't want to be here, but just want the Lord to continue to just speak and to work. You know, we have that desire for Him, but He has a far greater desire for us. And He really wants to do wonderful things in our lives, which we previously would have thought out of the question and quite impossible. But our God is an amazing God, and He does amazing things. Thank You for all those who have contributed, and, well, just for everyone here who just lifts up their hearts to the Lord. What a privilege it is. I want to share, to start with, from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. These are thoughts which I had when I was recently away. Didn't actually speak on this verse while I was away, but the Lord has prompted me as I've considered what to say. And so earlier on in the week I felt prompted to share. I'm just going to read one verse from here. We're going to then go to another scripture in the Old Testament. Then we're going to return to Isaiah chapter 8 and chapter 9. And the verse I want us to just look at quickly to begin with, as like an introduction, is in Isaiah 9 verse 4. You have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, or it may say something like the whip or the rod against your shoulder, and the rod or scepter of his oppressor. So there's three things there that the Lord has specifically broken: the yoke, the staff or the whip, or the rod or the scepter of his oppressor. And then he says this at the end of the verse, as in the day of Midian. Isaiah was prophesying this around about 700 BC, but when he refers to the day of Midian, that refers to something much earlier in Israel's history. And we need to go into the book of Judges to have a quick look at this. I'm not going to look at the whole story. It takes at least three chapters, but it concerns Gideon. But I want us to look at the day of Midian and what was happening when Midian came into Israel. So if we go into Judges chapter 6, this is what was happening to the people at this particular time. Chapter 6 verse 1, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And you can almost add the word again, because it was a repetitive, cyclical thing. They had deliverance for a short time, and then they reverted back to wrong behavior, essentially, worshipping other gods, idols, which the Lord considers as evil, and as a result, the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. It's a long time. Not in the span of eternity, but it's long enough to feel the weight, the yoke, the staff, and the rod, as I referred to from Isaiah. And it says that the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, so they were stronger than Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made themselves dens, which are in the mountains, and caves, and strongholds. In other words, they hid themselves. They couldn't find normal refuge. They hid away. They were afraid. They were ashamed. They would have been embarrassed. And all that God had promised for them was not happening. and they would have felt ashamed that it wasn't. Let's just drop down to verse 4. We'll look at verse 3. The Midianites came up with the Amalekites and the children of the east. So you've got a confederacy now of at least three groups of people. And they came up against them, and they encamped against them. They destroyed the increase of the earth until you come to Gaza, and they left no sustenance for Israel. No food, nothing to eat, nothing to nourish themselves with. For Israel, the people, and not even for the sheep, nor the ox, nor the ass. Everyone felt the oppression. And they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. They were innumerable, countless, hundreds of thousands of people filling the place, so that everywhere you looked, all you could see was the enemy. There just seemed absolutely no way out. Both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it, and Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And this is exactly what the enemy wants to do to our souls, and also to the people of God and to his church. He wants to rob them of food, spiritual food. I loved what Susha said, about reading the Word of God. And if you want to hear it louder, then read it aloud. I like that. I'll remember that. But it's absolutely true. Whenever we feel discouraged, and I'll be honest with you, earlier on this week I felt quite discouraged, but I can't remember which psalm I was reading, but just in the presence of the Lord, reading a psalm, it just lifted. But what the enemy wants to do, as it says in end of verse 5, they entered into the land to destroy it. The enemy wants to ravage things. He wants them, things that we rely on for our spiritual lives. He wants to, this isn't really a word, but to defunctionalize. Okay? To take away their purpose, so that they no longer have a purpose. They no longer work for your benefit and for your blessing. Rather the reverse, that everything that you sort of relied on and hoped for and wished is taken away, it's destroyed, and there is no sustenance. And such was the number of these people. But so it was, at the end of verse 6, the children of Israel cried to the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried to the Lord, because of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet who basically said, this is why things are wrong. And through that, eventually, God raised up the deliverer in the person of Gideon. But I just want to give you the background of what it was like in the day of Midian. And so now, we go back into verse 19 chapter 8 of Isaiah. And so here's the picture. Things are awful, terrible. No hope, no answers. It just seems so overwhelming. And you think, how can I ever get free of that? Right, if we go into Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19. This is Isaiah speaking, well, the Lord speaking through Isaiah to the people. And he's rebuking those who have sought familiar spirits, wizards who peep, who make noise, they mutter, And what happens is that when you are in facing overwhelming odds, there is a tendency to panic and to not be sure where to look. Now, I'm going to talk generally for a moment, but this can apply to the Lord's people. Very much so. But generally, as you look out onto the world where things are sort of caving in, what do people do? They look for answers, but they go to the wrong source. And you can list a whole number of things. Horoscopes, palm readings, consulting people, false religions, listening to stuff on YouTube or other things, trying desperately to find an answer. I mean, thank God in a way that people are looking for an answer, but there is so much out there that is ready to provide an answer, but it is the wrong answer, and it will only end up in deception and in a worse state than before. And so this was happening to Israel. It was being repeated some hundreds of years later. Instead of Midian, now it was the armies of Babylon. But he refers to it as the day of Midian. But rather than seek the Lord, they were seeking other things. They were going to alternatives. Familiar spirits, wizards, idols. Things that mutter but don't give a clear word. Isn't it wonderful that when God speaks, as he already has done this morning, he speaks in a clear word. He does not mutter or mumble so that you think, what was that? What was said? Not quite sure, and there's confusion. That's what happens when you seek other spirits. It just brings confusion. But God speaks wonderfully clearly. And then he says, the end of verse 19, should not the people seek to their God for the living rather than the dead? Verse 20, to the law and to the testimony. He's referring to the word of God. This book is powerful. I mean, it's just a book. It's pages with a rather old sort of tattered cover, which I've had to repair with duct tape, because I've had it a long time, but I love this Bible because I know where stuff is on the page and I can refer to it quickly. But this book, or rather the words of this book, is powerful. When you come into the Lord's presence, when you quieten yourself before him and allow him to begin to speak through his word, it has revolutionizing effect upon us. And it has, as we heard earlier on, the ability to make us arise. When I heard that word, I'm so glad that Dave followed it up. It was there. I don't know if everyone heard it, but it was clear. Arise. That is always God's ultimate word to us. Don't cower, don't hide, don't fear, don't be ashamed, don't remain low. Not that we're sort of on some kind of victory dance, but the word is arise. The enemy may seem overwhelming. He may prevail, he may seek to destroy and remove all sustenance from us, but the word is arise. Where should we go for the answer then? To the law and the testimony. But they don't speak according to this word. Why? End of verse 20, because there is no light in them. These other things that I've referred to, they don't have light, they function within the darkness, and they only bring darkness so that we can't see the way ahead. Now, I'm trying to sort of paint a picture of oppression and darkness and no light, but there is a little glimmer of light with the word of God. And now we come into chapter 9. And this is where it starts to become wonderful. And not just words because we are familiar with some of these words, but because this is the truth. Nevertheless, chapter 9, verse 1, dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, or was in her trouble, in her tortured state. When at first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterwards did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. You think, what is he talking about? He's trying to bring some light. And then he comes into verse 2, which is quoted in Matthew chapter 4, at the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, or rather the advent of his ministry in Galilee. The people who walked, or as it says in the King James in Matthew 4, sat in darkness. They had become almost used to it. They accepted it. And when we think back to the day of Midian, they were in that position for 7 years. Why did it take so long before they responded? God was no doubt in it. He was teaching them a lesson. But there is a sense in which you can sit under things for a considerable length of time and you become used to it. That is not God's intention. He's speaking his living word to us today so that we should arise and that there should be a massive difference in our lives. So the people that used to sit in darkness, they have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light has shone, and it is continuing to shine, and it will continue to shine until the Lord Jesus comes back again, and then it will shine brighter than you could ever imagine. God's light is shining. Do we see it? Let me think of, my mind's going 100 places at once. Let me think of the Apostle Paul. A man in darkness, but convinced he was right. In his arrogance and pride, he went to Damascus. He wasn't content just with causing trouble in Jerusalem. He went to Damascus to find those who were of the way, to arrest them and to persecute them. And as he was getting near the city, he must have been working out his plans and his strategies, and he was full of anger, full of ungodly zeal, great energy. What happened? A light shone from heaven. And when he refers to this later on in the book of Acts, he said, even though it was the middle of the day, noon, he said it was above, brighter than the brightness of the noonday sun. That is the light of God. And it shines into the most oppressive darkness that you could possibly imagine. Think back to the day of creation. When God made the worlds, the first thing that he made? Light. On the first day. What did he make on the fourth day? You remember? Sun, moon, and stars. So if he made those on the fourth day, where did that light come from on the first day? I think it was something that Paul saw when he saw Jesus Christ. It was the glory of God shining into the darkness. That's what he saw. And the glory of God, the light of the glory of God, wants to shine into every recess, nook, cranny and corner of our darkness and totally transform it. That is the power of the gospel. We are to hear this and to rise. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. And when we hear things like what we've heard this morning, it makes us rise up. Let's quickly return to Isaiah. Light is beginning to shine into this situation. And so now he comes back to verse 4, which is what we read earlier on. Is that he has broken the yoke of his burden. Are you under a burden today? whatever kind of burden it may be not for yourself, but it may be for someone else. He has broken that yoke. He replaces it with his own yoke. But his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. Light as in not heavy. Praise God. This is the gospel. This is what God was appealing to them through Isaiah to a nation which had become so immersed in darkness that they were seeking out what's called familiar spirits. That just means they were conducting seances and things like that, trying to listen to a voice, but only at the very, very best they could only mutter and mumble and not give anything clear. God wants to give a clear sound. And when the trumpet gives that clear sound, then the people will rise up for battle. That's a quote from 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He will break the yoke of the burden. The staff, the whip of his shoulder. Are things whipping you? Do you feel that things are beating you more than necessary? And you think, oh no, here I go again. You're falling in the same way, repeating the same thing, being under the cosh once again. God has come to relieve you of that. He's come to take it away. In fact, he's come to break it, so that that whip will not be able to be applied anymore. And then the final thing that he says, the rod of his oppressor. And as I said earlier, an alternative reading, it might be in some people's translations, is the scepter of his oppressor. What does the word scepter imply? It implies government. Rule. Midian ruled for 7 years. Babylon was encircling the city. They were not free. They were under the influence and order of another power. And what does God say? He will break the scepter of his oppressor. He will break that former government, so that you do not need to live and exist under its rule anymore. The rod, the scepter of his oppressor, the government which seeks to rule over our lives, God breaks. How? How does he do this? How does he provide these answers? Well, we've spoken about light. Light comes in the darkness. How does that light come? And now we come on to these wonderful verses, which we normally read at Christmas time. But in the context of what we're reading, we get a greater idea of what the Lord has come to do. So, in the midst, against this background of oppression, being beaten, under a heavy yoke, and darkness, this is the word of God. Unto us. Us. He was speaking to the people of Israel at the time, but it's also to us. It's to the world. It's to where I've just been. It's to every tribe. Every human condition, every form of sin that's ever been expressed throughout history, unto us, what has God done? He's not just set out a list of rules, now follow these and you may improve after a certain length of time. He's given us his son. A child is given. Why? To send light. To rid you of the bondage. To break the chains, to bring in another rule, not of evil, not of demonic powers, but of righteousness, truth, peace, joy, love, forever. This is his kingdom. This is his government. Unto us a child is born, a son is given. This is God's answer to the entire world. And if I could say this to the entire universe, I don't know if there are inhabited planets out there. I have no idea. That's not the point. But he sent him to this world to be the gospel message for every man, woman and child in every conceivable, possible condition that men could ever sink into, he will lift them out of. Glory be to his name. Unto us a child is given. A child is born, a son is given. And then he says these amazing words. The government will be on his shoulder, not on yours. And any other government that seeks to rule in your lives, he has come to bring another government. His government, forever and ever and ever. And it is a government not of confusion, not of darkness, but of clarity and of light. And he brings it into our souls. Glory be to his wonderful name. And his name shall be called Wonderful. No wonder it's called that. Counselor is able to speak those words in season. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Do you think that your problems are strong? Of course they are. But there is a stronger one who has come to bring in a much greater government and answer. Have you been under oppression for 7 years or 70? I don't know. Or any multiple of seven or any figure that you can think of. His government is coming. His government has come. What is our response? Lord, I want this. Be my governor. Be my Lord. Be my King. Set up your kingdom in my life. Rid me of all the former things that have ever ruled my life. Take them away once and forever. Break their power. Set me free. Give me liberty and bring me into the kingdom of God. This is the gospel. Have we received it? We are hearing it this morning through different ones, and I trust we are still hearing it. As God brings his powerful, precious word to our hearts, we do not need to sit under the yoke anymore. Stop making excuses. I'm speaking to whoever may be listening to this at any time, at any point in the future, as well as those who are on Zoom or happen to be in the dining room or wherever you are. This is the gospel. This is the word of God. Don't sit under excuses anymore. Believe the Lord and let him bring in his glorious light and his everlasting kingdom into our beings. This is true. It's not a mockery. It's not dangling there in front of us, almost out of reach. If we strive, we strain, we can't quite get it. It is there. It's available. It's spread as a table before our eyes in the presence even of our enemies, so that we should come and eat and be filled. Remember what Midian did? They took all the food away, so the people went hungry. God spreads the table so that we should eat, be filled, be strong, and believe this word. Don't believe the lies of the enemy anymore as they whisper untruths deep into your psyche. Believe the clear, powerful word of God who has only ever come to do good. Glory be to his name. This is what Isaiah was saying to the people. How much they understood, I do not know. But unto us, a child is born, a son is given. His name is Jesus Christ. And he has come to break every possible bondage, every constricting power that has ever ruled our lives. He's come to take it away for us and for everyone else who comes under the sound of the word of God. Glory be to his name. Have you heard? It's up to us now to respond. We're going to sing a hymn in just a moment. I'm going to pray. And I'd like us to sing, Arise, My Soul, Arise. Shake off your guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice on my behalf now appears. The Son has come. Let me just read one more verse from the New Testament. God's answer was the manifestation of his Son. Unto us a son, a child is born, a son is given. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, the end of the verse. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested. Why? That he may destroy what? The works of the devil. All the works of the devil. Right from the beginning, right up to today, 1st of June 2025. All the works of the devil, not some, not a select few, every single one, he has destroyed it. Midian tried to destroy us. Jesus Christ has destroyed him. And all the works of the devil, this is why he was manifested, to destroy those works now and forever. Glory be to his wonderful name. Father, we praise you. We want to just rise and believe your word and let you do wonderful things in our lives and in this church and in other churches too and in other lands, that the light of the glory of the gospel of God should shine brightly in every place that your word is spoken and that your truth is declared. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.